tonight, thanking you so much, Father God, for Christian Bible Baptist. Thanking you, Father God, Lord, for the doors being open for 2 weeks straight, Lord God, and just your word being taught and being preached, Father God, Lord. We thank you for all the young kids and the youth that come out, Lord God. And we just pray, Father, and ask your blessing upon this time. Lord, that you'd use your word, Father God, Lord, and save the sinner, Father God, and bless the saint, Lord. Father, we ask your blessing upon the teaching of your word tonight, Father. You bless it, Lord God, that all that's said, Father, would bring glory to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Alright. I don't have no good story, no introduction like a pastor. I probably won't have no good jokes either, but we're just gonna look at God's word. We're gonna have a good time. Amen. So we're gonna be looking at Genesis 39, with our focus being on sin displeases God, saying no to sin. And then there's another caption in our lesson, and it says purity. And that kind of stuck out to me a little bit. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, too. The main portion of the text is supposed to come from 39, 2 through 9, but I just don't see how we can look at that and read that and study that tonight without going through almost the whole chapter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20, and then we're just going to try to bring everything into context and see what we can get from this lesson. From the lesson of Joseph, I know a lot of you guys have heard this story before, have probably sat under a teacher of this story before. So we're just going to bring it all into context and then see if we can pull out some different points, some points that maybe you haven't seen before, some stuff that I know that God showed me through studying the life of Joseph. I've been studying it with the teen class on Wednesday night, and it's just been an awesome time. It's been encouraging. I've been having a good time. I don't know if they have been, but I enjoy it. So let's read a little bit. I'm going to be in Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I had lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid his garment by her until her Lord came home, and she came unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. There's a lot. That's a ton. We're probably never going to get to of bring it all into context, and I want you guys to get an idea of what's going on here. So, just like the pastor of this church does, I sit him there, teach him a lot, and he goes through the Bible expositionally, verse by verse, and that's the way I was taught, so that's the way we're going to do it tonight. Just pray God to bless His Word.
Amen.
So let's start out looking at verse 1. Verse 1 says that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Joseph was sold for the Ishmaelites to Potiphar. You guys remember who the Ishmaelites are? The Ishmaelites, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids, so Sarah had Abraham sleep with her handmaid, Hagar. They had a son named Ishmael. That's where the Ishmaelites would have came from. And then it says he was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Pharaoh is just properly, a word just for an Egyptian word. It was actually an Egyptian word adopted into the Hebrew language, and it simply means king. You see Potiphar in there, and you see it a few times, and it just means king. There was many different Potiphars in the Old Testament, of which certain king this was, I'm not 100% sure of his real name, but Potiphar is just king. So when we say, or Pharaoh, when we say Pharaoh, that's just king, I'm sorry. Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. So Potiphar would have been most likely one of his most important men in Israel to the king. Potiphar would have been important to him. He was a captain of the guard. He took care of his prisoners. The king's prisoners. So we're just going to run through this, bring everything into context. Verse number 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. First off, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. If you guys know the story of Joseph, Joseph was one of the older brothers, chapter number 37, Joseph being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The word of God says that Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his other children because he was the son of his old age. That was the son that God had gave him and Jacob and Rachel. Yeah, because Rachel's sister was Leah. I'm sorry. So that was the son that God had gave Jacob and Rachel, because Rachel couldn't have kids. And Leah, which would have been Rachel's sister, was having all kinds of babies. So Jacob favored his son Joseph. He loved his son. And his brothers knew that. He gave him a coat of many colors. And I talked with my youth kids about that. That coat of many colors signified purity. It was something that the king gave to his daughter. It was something to signify an honor. Purity, something of importance. So when Jacob gave Joseph that coat, that meant a lot. And his brothers knew that, and they hated him. And then Joseph started having dreams in chapter 37, and he told it to his brothers, and he said, we were in the field, and my sheaves, they came over your sheaves, and basically you guys were serving me. And his brothers, the word of God says, they hated him even the more. So his brothers didn't like Joseph. They didn't like him very much. Word of God also said that Joseph would go back to his father and bring him an account of what his brothers were doing. They were supposed to be out there feeding the flock, taking care of the business, and they were out messing around a little bit. And Joseph brought the account back to his dad, Jacob, and his dad appreciated that, liked that. In chapter 37, he sent Jacob out to check on his brothers out in the field, where they were supposed to be out doing their job, doing their work, and when they seen him coming, they said, there he is, there's the dreamer, let's get him. Let's kill him. We want to kill him. But the oldest brother said, what's it going to do any good if we kill him? He was protecting himself. The oldest brother knew that he had to go back and give an account. Reuben was his name. He said, man, let's not kill him. Let's put him over here in this pit and hold him for a little while. Word of God said that he was going to get him to take him back home, man, make sure everything was all right. Let's not kill him. So they threw him in the pit. While Reuben was gone, his brother got a crazy idea. You know what? Let's sell him. Let's make some profit off this dude. Let's sell him. So they ended up selling him into slavery, and that's what we're picking up here in chapter 39. So he gets sold into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. 17 years old, sold into slavery. Brothers don't like him. He's having some dreams. he's going through some stuff right now, but verse number 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. So we see that even when we're going through some of our roughest times in life, God's still with us. If you're doing what God would have you to do, you're living a lifestyle that honors God and pleases God, I believe God's right there with you. And you know what? If you're not, I believe God's still calling you through the preaching of His Word. I know I heard it when I was out there lost, running around, acting like a fool. And God protected me so much while I was lost. And I didn't realize that until I was saved. But God was there with Joseph. The Word of God says this multiple times too. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And you read from 39 through 40, 45. I mean, it's loaded with the Lord was with Joseph. And we're going to see as we go through this. He went through some stuff. Acts chapter 7 verse 9. New Testament even gives account that God was with him. It says, and the patriarchs moved with him. Sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Mm-hmm. Verse number 2 also says that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. That word prosper there is not talking about he made all that he did so his pockets are fat, he's walking around with all kinds of money, he's driving around a Lexus or something with nice cold air conditioning. It's not talking about that. He was successful. Everything he was doing was promising. His work was glorifying God. Therefore, God was blessing him. And it says, even in the house of his master, God was blessing him. He wasn't in his own house. He was in the house of Potiphar. So he's a Hebrew boy in the house of an Egyptian. He's a stranger. I mean, that just blows my mind. And God's with him. Why? Why is God blessing what he's doing? And I thought about that, and as I read the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 7, it says, let every man abide in the same calling, this is verse number 20, wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. God's saying, wherever he called you, wherever he put you, do what you're supposed to do. That's what Joseph was doing. Joseph had that mind, man. He was doing what he was supposed to do. You know what? I'm a slave. I was sold to this man. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And he's working and God's blessing it. I believe Joseph knew that. Verse number 22 says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brother, let every man wherein he is called, therefore abide with God. God says that all we eat, drink, and do, we should do it to the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. And that's a winning team right there. If you've got God on your side and you're doing everything that you do to glorify Him, you best believe it's going to be prosperous. And it ain't always going to be prosperous in the way where you can reach in your pocket and pull it out and give it to somebody else. But God will bless it. Alright?
Amen.
Let's keep running through this. Verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. How in the world did his master see that? That just kind of blew my mind. His master seen that the Lord was with him. Was there a cloud of smoke following him around? Was Jesus Christ there in person following him around? No. I believe that Joseph knew a little something about what James had to write to him in James chapter 2. And it's through the whole book of James. James 2:14 reads, what do it profit, my brother, no man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Potiphar could see this. Potiphar could see the Lord was with him because he was working it out. He was working that thing out, man. This dude's a foreign kid, 17 years old, young, sold into slavery. He's in here just working his behind off, glorifying God the whole time. That's how Potiphar seen it. 24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Joseph didn't just have that faith. He didn't just walk in Potiphar's house saying, you know what, I love the Lord. But then he sat back on his behind, kicked his feet up, and had a two-hour lunch break. He didn't do that. He worked. He worked, and Potiphar could see that. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We know that we don't work to be saved, but we also know that saved folks are followed by good works. It's just it's just repetitive in the Word of God. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Joseph knew something about this. He knew that he wasn't just going to kick back and most likely be like any other slave being sold at that time, just kick back and not do his job. He did all that he did to bring glory to God, and we're going to see that God just keeps blessing him. He's keeping there with him, and he's making things to prosper. Things are looking good. Things are looking up for Joseph right now. But let's not lose focus on what this lesson's about. This lesson's about saying no to sin. And we all know when things are going good in our lives, the pastor always says, you either just getting out of trouble, going through trouble, or about to get into some more trouble. It's always coming. And we know when it's going good, we know something bad's coming. So verse 4, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served and made him overseer of his house and all that he put into his hand." So Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight. Noah found grace in Potiphar's sight, and I thought that was interesting because the grace that Joseph finds in Potiphar's sight, it's going to save his life. I mean, if you guys know the story, you know the ending. That grace is going to save Joseph's life because when he goes through everything that he goes through, and as we read in verses 19, he could have killed Joseph, had him put to death, but he didn't. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though. Let's keep moving. Verse 5, "And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field." So first off, I want you guys to see that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So first off, God does the blessing. Why didn't God just bless Potiphar? Because Potiphar was the king's right-hand man. Potiphar wasn't doing anything to honor God. Potiphar wasn't glorifying God like Joseph was. So God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. It says, "For Joseph's sake." Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, did you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God was blessing Joseph's house because Joseph was laying everything down and doing what he was supposed to do. He was in God's will. Mm-hmm. That sounds crazy. He's a slave in slavery, sold by his brothers into slavery in a foreign guy's house in Egypt. And he's in God's will? That just sounds insane. Something's wrong with that. Today, if you're in God's will, you're driving around a Cadillac and you got a six-figure job. And you got the nicest tennis shoes and the nicest gym clothes on the block. You got a nice leather gym bag. Then you're in God's will, right? Joseph's a slave, but he's in God's will. And I believe that, and I know that. And I know you guys know that from reading and studying the story. Psalm 37:1-9 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall be cut down like grass and wither as green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Joseph knew something about that. Joseph was having them dreams back before his brothers got mad and sold him into slavery. And he knew God was talking to him through that. And we know that. We know that one day that's going to come to pass. But Joseph sat back and he waited on the Lord. And he was in the Lord's will, just serving in the house. Serving in the house. Let's keep moving. Verse 6, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." So we see that Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's hands. He didn't even have to check up on it. Joseph took care of everything. Only it says, except for the bread he ate, the only thing he wanted to know was what's for dinner tonight. What am I getting fed? He didn't care about nothing else. That's the kind of man he was. And then that just makes me ask the question, are we that kind of men? Are we that kind of women on our jobs? Can our bosses leave us with everything and not have to worry about it? Or are we going to shade a few numbers? Or are we going to maybe clock ourselves in a little early and out a little late? I mean, it just makes me wonder. Because Potiphar said, I leave it all in Joseph's hand. It don't matter to me. I just want to know what I mean. And the Word of God says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Goodly means he was a beautiful person. Not just beautiful and good looking in his countenance and his appearance, but in his actions also. So we see that amongst all this, amongst everything that's going on, Joseph was remaining faithful to God. And that's a beautiful thing. And like I said, we know that when times are going real good, something's coming up. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So here's, I think, the meat of our lesson comes from these next few verses. Verse number 7 reads, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So first off, the first thing that just jumps out at me is his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. So verse number 6 just told us that Joseph was a goodly man. But does that give her a reason to be checking them out? Does that give us a reason to be checking people out when we see them? And they might be fair looking. They might be nice to look at. That woman might be a Coke shape, or that guy might have a stomach like a washboard. But does that give us a right to look at him? I don't know. I just think about that stuff. Potiphar's wife's sin first began in her eyes. We got to watch what we look at, because when sin starts, it escalates into something else, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And Jesus gave us warning about watching what we look at, watching what our eyes are cast upon. And I'm going to turn to my Bible here to Mark chapter 9. I don't have this one in my notes. Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to see what Jesus had to say about that. Mark chapter 9, let's start in verse 43. Mark 9:43 reads like this. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. This is Jesus talking here. If you got a King James Bible, one of them red letters ones, this is all red. This is Jesus talking here. This ain't me. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus says, if your hand keeping you from getting saved, if your hand keeping you sinning, chop that thing off. Get rid of it. And if thy foot offend thee, places you like to go, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. He's repeating that for a reason. I think he's repeating that to let you know that hell's a real place. Hell's a place of eternal torment where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. There ain't going to be no quenching. There ain't going to be no comfort in hell. And you ain't going to die. Pastor says it all the time. You're going to live forever somewhere. But what does he say about your eyes? Verse number 47. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus tells you better watch what you look at. If your eyes are keeping you from getting saved, things you like to watch, things you like to look at are keeping you from coming to the Lord. Or maybe you are saved and the things you like to look at are keeping you out of fellowship with the Lord. You got to watch that. I'm not telling you to go home and pluck your eyes out by no means. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you that Jesus said it's better for you to enter into life with one eye than to go to hell with 2 good eyes. So I did a little research, and I hope I can find it here, on some popular TV shows that adults watch today. See if I can find it. I hope I can find it. I got the top 10 TV shows for adults today. And I was going to print this, but I didn't want to waste my paper. Number 10 is The Bachelorette. Number 9 is Sleepy Hollow. I have no clue what these are. Number 8 is Homeland. Number 7 is NCIS. Number 6 is The Blacklist. Number 5 is American Idol. American Idol, I mean the title for yourself. That's top 5. Number 4, Dancing with the Stars. Number 3, and it gets real good now, Scandal. Number 2, Game of Thrones. And number 1, The Good Wife. Now I was going to look all these up, try to get a little definition for them, but you know what, I couldn't do it. I couldn't even read that stuff long enough. But I did look up the number 1 thing that adults watch, and it's called The Good Wife. And I don't know if you guys watch it, some of you might. I've never seen it, I have no clue what it is. But it's a series focused on Alicia Florrick, whose husband, Peter Florrick, a former cook, has been in jail following a very public sex and corruption scandal after having spent 13 years as a stay-at-home mother. Alicia returns to her old job in a literature to provide for her 2 children. I'm done reading. That's enough. That's some crazy stuff. That's one of the most popular shows that adults watch today. And I mean, sex scandals, public, this dude's leaving his wife got to go back to work. That's what's popular amongst adults today. I don't know, I see something wrong with that. Jesus says, that kind of stuff is the kind of stuff that's keeping you away from me. That's the kind of stuff that's going to keep you out of fellowship. That's the kind of stuff that if you're not saved, it's going to keep you from getting saved. Because you're going to keep filling your mind with that and you're going to think it's all right. And I've been down that road. I used to watch some of the craziest TV shows ever. That was one of the things God took from me. I'm not saying all TV is bad, by no means. I know there's a lot of stuff that you can watch. God just took TV out of my life. I can't turn it on. I turn it on sometimes to watch boxing. That's it. He took it out of my life because maybe it's because of the stuff I used to watch. But I used to watch some stupid stuff. I used to watch TV shows. I don't know. I ain't even going to get into it. But I used to watch some bad stuff. But Jesus says we gotta watch what we look at. Because that stuff, it messes us up. And I know the pastors of the series, I'm talking about the gates, and one of them is the eye gate. You gotta watch what you let in. We really do. We gotta watch that. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her," or has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So you got Potiphar's wife here, checking out Joseph, and I'm sure Jesus meant that for men too, or for women too. I'm sure that when she was looking at Joseph like that, she said, you know what she's going to say next. She was thinking it already. God says, man, you already committed adultery with her. So, you know, we might be flicking through the channel, we see a Pepsi commercial. You better watch out. You might be committing adultery with somebody. We got to watch what we look at. We need to be like Job. Job in chapter 31 said, "I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of life, or what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction of the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Does not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity." That we need to be like Job. We need to definitely be like Job. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. Amen. Look, God, I ain't going to look upon that junk. And you're going to know it because you're an all-knowing God. You're omniscient, omnipresent. And I want to bring you glory. I want to be like Joseph. Even if I'm in Potiphar's house being a slave, I want to be like Joseph. So we got Potiphar's wife checking Joseph out, and we know it ain't right. So she's tempted by the way Joseph looks. She's tempted. She gets full of lust. And I thought about this. Where did this temptation come from? Did it come from God? It didn't come from God. Did the devil tempt her? See, we like to do that. And I do it too. We like to blame the devil for stuff all the time. It's not always the devil. We're all sinners. We've all been born in sin. Sin is inside of us. Paul said in Romans 7 that, man, when I want to do good, I'm doing bad. The good that I would do, I don't do. And the good that I don't, or the stuff that I don't want to do, I find myself doing all the time. He said there's members inside of me warring against each other. There's sin inside of us. We're born in sin. We're fallen humans. And it's a fight. It's a struggle. A lot of times, the stuff we get ourselves into, that's just us. That's our human side. That's our flesh. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That stuff's inside of us. And if we don't watch what we're looking at, we're going to draw ourselves away. And I ain't saying you ain't saved if you're in here and you're watching some of that stuff. I'm saying you're out of fellowship. Get back in fellowship. Turn that stuff off. Get down, open your Bible. Cast your eyes upon God's Word. Let's keep moving through this. So next thing that jumps out in verse number 7 is she said, lie with me. So we see that her sin started with her eyes, and now it's leading to more sin. James in chapter 1 says, in 1 verse 15 says, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringing forth death. Sin grows and grows and grows, especially if you keep feeding it. So what do you got to do? What do we got to do?
Starve it.
We got to starve it to death. That's right. We got to nip it in the bud, for lack of better words. We got to catch it as soon as it comes, before it starts growing, before it overthrows us. Because that stuff we watch and we let in, it's just going to grow and grow and grow and lead to worse stuff.
Take over.
Yeah, take over. That's absolutely right. I got a bunch of illustrations, but we're not going to look at them. You guys get the picture. They say alcohol is a gateway drug. A lot of people start drinking, and next thing you know, they're smoking cigarettes. Next thing you know, they're smoking a little weed. Hey, if I can smoke a little weed, I can do a little coke. If I can do a little coke, I can smoke a little crack. I mean, it started off with just that one little sip of beer. That's how it started for me in high school. I'm just going to drink a little bit at these parties. Next thing you know, I find myself in jail a few times. You got to nip it in the butt, man. We got to catch it before it starts. And like Deacon said, before it takes control. I think Joseph knew something about that. I think he did. I think he did. And we're going to see that by his reaction to what Potiphar's wife said to him. He knew something about staying away from sin. He knew something about 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He knew something about that. He knew what she was saying was evil. And why? I started thinking, like, why? Well, what's the big deal? Joseph, nobody's around. Nobody's going to know. Let's see what Joseph says. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Is that the reason? No. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So first thing is, Joseph said, he refused. He said, I refuse. He responded in the right way. He did like 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. He responded in the right way. It says, he refused. What could he have done? Nobody's in the house. He's a foreigner. He's a slave in Egypt. That's a godless land. The Egyptians weren't God's people. He'd have probably got away with it if he wanted to sleep with her long. Potiphar never found out. Why not? Why didn't he do it? He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph didn't care about Potiphar. He was honoring Potiphar because he was honoring God. He wasn't afraid of Potiphar. All this dude might kill me, throw me in his prison. No, he was honoring God. Joseph's fear was for the Lord. I just believe that. I believe that in verse number 8, that when he was reminding her, or is that verse 9? In verse number 8, he said, you're his wife. He was reminding her of something. Adultery is punished by death. He might be trying to help her out too. Listen, you're going to get yourself killed. and me killed. You need to relax and get out of here. But first off, he said, I can't do this. I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God. And that's how we need to be. Joseph was accountable to God, just like us. We're accountable to God. Our sin ain't against other people. When we sin, other people think it's cool. Other people think it's funny. They laugh at it. I know I make some jokes at work sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, and my coworkers laugh. And I'm like, man, I shouldn't have said that. Stupid. My sin's against God. It's not against them. They get a kick out of it. They think it's funny. It's not. Joseph knew he was accountable to God. Joseph, remember David? Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, when Nathan came to David and told him about what he did, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put thy sin away. Thou shalt not die. Something happens when you realize you sin against God. God's a loving God. God's a forgiving God. But God's also a just God. But when you get that realization that your sin is against God, when the Spirit convicts you of something, and you know you're doing wrong, you know what, I sinned against the Lord, you confess it to God, and God says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's a great thing. Psalms 51 verse 4 says, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. And this is David writing in the book of Psalms after he made great sin with Bathsheba, and he killed Uriah. He said that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. We're all accountable to God. Saved or unsaved, we're accountable to God. God's going to judge us. One day we're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to judge us. Like I said, saved or unsaved, you're going to give an account to God. And He's going to ask you, what'd you do with my son? What'd you do with my precious son, Jesus Christ, whom I sent there to die for your sin? You didn't believe it? You didn't follow Him? You wanted another way? He gave us one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let's keep moving through this. See how much further we can get. What time do I have till? He said, I don't know. Alright. We'll move a little bit, and then we'll see where we get. I won't keep you guys long. I know that we have a schedule to keep to. Verse number 10, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So we see Joseph here being attacked day by day. How many of you guys know that sin attacks day by day? And it attacks in multiple different ways. It don't stop. The devil ain't stopping. The devil got a threefold plan for your life. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take you to hell with him because he's going, he ain't got no way out. And he wants some company down there. Don't be fooled. Joseph was attacked day by day. But it says he hearkened not unto her. Joseph didn't even flirt with the idea because the Bible says that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He wouldn't even go near. He didn't even flirt with the idea. All right, he didn't walk past just a little bit of pride of himself so she could say, hey, Joseph, looking nice today. He didn't do that. He stayed away from her. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, a sinner's entice thee, consent thou not. Joseph knew something about that. He said, I'm going to stay away from this. I'm going to keep away from that. Some of us like to flirt with sin. We like to put ourselves in bad situations. We put stumbling blocks in our paths. And it's bad. We got to stay away from that. We need to be like Joseph and hearken not unto it. Because it's coming. Day by day it's coming. We got to be ready. We got to be in our word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. You got to be ready so you can fight it. You got to see it coming. You got to know which way it's attacking from. How are you going to know where it's coming from if you're not in God's Word? You've got to be in God's Word and be ready. Have that game plan. Have that ammunition. Be ready to go. Verse number 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. That might have been a little mistake. Joseph should have had a little better knowing of his surroundings. We gotta watch that. That happened to me one time. One of my buddies got me into some stuff that I should have been aware of. I should have known. Mm-hmm. He told me he had the right to go into some house. He worked for the city of Camel after his work hours. It's 8, 9 o'clock at night. He said, yeah, I got permission to go in. It was a bad house. I'm just going to take a couple things. I got permission from my chief. I should have known better than that. I should have known better. I should have knew my surroundings. And you know, we make mistakes. We're human. We're like I said, we're fallen humans, man. We make mistakes, we mess up, but we ought to know our surroundings because Joseph puts himself in a bad situation. Verse 12 says, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. God tells us to run from evil, run from sin, and that's exactly what Joseph did. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sin against his own body. Joseph was running from that thing. He said, I ain't going to lay with that. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. I'm running. Flee the very appearance of evil is what he did. 2 Timothy 2:22, and I sometimes wonder why the Bible writes so much about fornication and youthful lust. I think God knows what he's talking about. Because that's something that's hard to deal with. And not just for men, but for women also. We're adults in here. So we know that's what's hard to deal with. You're single, or maybe your spouse has passed, or maybe you went through a divorce. That's what's hard to deal with. God tells you to flee it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of pure heart. God tells us to get rid of that stuff. Stay away from sin. Flee the very appearance of evil. And that's what Joseph did. So Joseph knew something about saying no to sin. And we'll stop there. That's a lie. Joseph knew something about saying no to sin, though. He knew something about that. And I just believe that if Joseph had a Bible, he'd have been reading it every day. Because I just believe that Joseph was in God's will. And if you study the life of Joseph, you know that eventually Joseph gets out of prison. Joseph becomes second in Egypt. He becomes the main man. He'd have been like the vice president of today. And God uses him to save his brother's lives and preserve life. And it's through that lineage that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes. I pray and hope that everyone in this room knows Christ as their personal Lord and their personal Savior. And if you don't, the Word of God says that you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And as we said earlier, that's a good combination to have God on your side because He can help you fight sin because sinning displeases God. And I guess that's it. We can stop there. We're supposed to leave it open for questions.
Do they have any comments they want to ask you anything?